Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And I have a barrage of very special guests, including one named, incidentally, Baran. And our new guest that is joining us for this hour is Karen Quinn Tosado from UnitedWeStrike.com. Karen, welcome.
Thank you, Vinny. It's nice to be here. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, yes. And say hello to our other special guests, Suzanne Posel. Suzanne, welcome.
Hello. Hi. Hello, Karen.
Yes. And Baran Hines.
Hello.
Hi, Baran.
And Alex Ansari.
Hello, Karen.
Okay. Well, that's nice. The round table just keeps on growing, you know, kind of like Steeler's wheel. It just keeps on trucking. Now, Karen, this weekend we are having the United We Strike radio broadcast. How many years has this little marathon been running?
Since 2009. August of 2009. So 10, 11, 12, 13, 4, although when I first got started on this whole idea actually was December 2008, so this is kind of an anniversary, so to speak, in terms of months and years. I've been chained to this. Gosh, you never know what's going to happen once you start believing in something and you stand up and you become vocal about it. And it's interesting, you know, when I look back over the years, but I still feel the same way.
Now, this started off as the tax-free 15th, wasn't it?
Actually, it started off as taxholiday2009.net, and Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com helped me set up the original site. But the idea came from, in December 2008, we had the first banker, leave no banker behind bonus bailout stimulus package that everyone was against, and of course it passed anyway. And I was also outraged because every April 15th, you know, millions of Americans are hoodwinked and bamboozled into volunteering their tax money. And I think more people ought to know that. So the 15th of the month just became a day for people to stand together, because one of the most difficult things in this whole movement is unity. We are so busy bickering with each other and fighting that we can't get on the same page. And this is really just an idea about people empowering themselves. I never set out to be like the leader. I set out to see how many people felt like I did, who understood fully that we have been ripped off, lied to since before birth, turned into corporations and profit-making machines, and now profit is allowed to reign. You know, we are destroying this world, and the only real job that any of us should have, in my opinion, is the joy of being good stewards of our world. And we've been trained out of that, and all of us are just being chewed up and spit out by the system. And until we recognize that we're worth more than that, you know, many of us believe we're spirit, and after we die, we'll get somewhere, we'll get to heaven, and we're living to make sure that we get to where we believe we belong. But we are also forsaking ourselves, because this three-dimensional existence is really all we know. And as much as I want to believe in heaven, I don't. You know, I recently stopped believing that Jesus existed due to speaking to Joseph Atwell and having him guest with me on my last series of programs before I stepped back from doing regular radio. And there's so much that we have been taught out of, you know. We've lost our respect, and we need to respect ourselves here. In order to feel like we can gain a paradise elsewhere, we're sacrificing our lives. And it's time, I think, to give ourselves the gift of respect this Christmas.
You were talking about something that I think is very important and bears looking upon further, is this concept of unity amid the truth movement. Now, it occurs to me that traditionally throughout history, unity is brought around by a leader. how on earth do you bring unity about to a whole bunch of people who preach and make a point of their life by not submitting to any authority?
Well, first, it has to start within, and we have to become honorable people again. You know, we have to become the heroes of our own lives. We know when something is right and something is wrong. There's an instinctive reaction, which is our divine umbilical cord. We need to plug it in. We can be moral people, you know, do no harm. Nonviolence, if we all just stopped at the same time from being pushed over the brink, which again is also about the 15th, you know, nobody has to submit to anyone else. No one needs to be a slave. Let's take a break as humanity. Let's step back for one day and say, what the frack is going on? So much. And all we really would need to do then is agree to cooperate and become good stewards of our world for our lives, respecting ourselves enough to know that we deserve a beautiful earth. And the only reason we don't have it is because we have been propagandized and trained out of living for right here, right now, honoring whatever God it is. Let's become adults and not wait to be saved by him. Let's step up to the plate, because why would any God anyway, worth his salt, figure that, okay, I'm going to let my children trash the earth, and then they're going to get paradise when they get up here because they've done such a great job. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, seems like an abdication of sanity. Suzanne Puzzle, you're going to be leaving in this next segment, and I wanted to ask you about this whole part of this movement that we consider ourselves to be a members of, you know, the truth, the bringing about the end of the lies, the lifting of the veil, whatever label you want to call on it. It probably doesn't have a label, and there's probably many people within this alleged movement that don't like labels of any kind anyway. But when you think about it, I mean, really, really think about it, there's only two things, two words that come to mind, the reason why it is being done and the why it needs to be done. Those two words are moral obligation. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. My job, as I see it, is to bring forth as much information so that my readers and my listeners can make informed decisions. I think that a big part of the problem, as far as journalism goes, has been that journalism in the whole has been paid for, co-opted, bought, and therefore all the information that you're getting is askew, directed, part of an agenda, and you can't make an informed decision based on that information. So I have taken it upon myself to bring forth information that is holistic and unbiased. But I keep my opinion out. It's not an op-ed piece masquerading as an article, because if we're going to make good decisions on what kind of things we want to buy and where we want to live and what kind of energy sources we want to use and what kind of businesses are okay to support and ones that aren't, because even small businesses are corporations. It's not corporations that we're against. It's corporatism that we're against. So if I'm bringing good information to my listening audience and my reading audience, then they can turn around each and every day in every facet of their life, make a better decision not to participate in their own tyranny.
It would be nice if people didn't participate in their own tyranny, but unfortunately we do, and I think this stems from the fact that we've all been taught to believe that we're already free. When you don't think that you're a slave, how on earth would you ever rebel against a slave master if you're not even aware that he's there? You know what I'm saying?
Well, people instinctually know that something's not right. And the version of it that they give us just doesn't sit well. That's why when I was 12 years old, I went on a spiritual sojourn because I couldn't adhere to the religion that was practiced in my home, and I wanted to know who was right and who is this God, and if I believe in the wrong God, am I going to piss off God for making the mistake of believing in this other God? And I think that we can apply that to when we wake up and realize that the money is fake and the social memes are fake and the indoctrination stations are what we call public schools. Vaccines don't help, they harm. GMO food, which is most of what we consume, hurts us and causes the chemicals and on and on and on. Once we realize that, then we can say, okay, when we go to the store, we can turn the label around and say, parabens in my shampoo, no, I don't want to get breast cancer, and put it back on the shelf. But if you don't know, then you can't. Then you're going to pick up that product and bring it home and use it, and it's going to kill you incrementally, and you won't even think to yourself, oh yeah, it was the Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo that I rubbed in my daughter's head, which now at 42, she has breast cancer.
Yeah, and then it comes to the pearly gates. Oh, it was the breast cancer from the shampoo that got me. It wasn't the it wasn't the canned salmon mousse after all.
We need to have outlets of genuine, real information that we can base our lives on. That is the purpose of the press, to check and balance the government and the corporations to make sure that, and expose scumbaggery. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Suzanne Pozzle, ladies and gentlemen, she puts the impress in the press. Now, Alex, I also wanted to talk to you about this as well, because this is, again, Christmas time. It's a time for coming together and what have you. And there's many movements that you've been fractured and part of and critiqued over the years and what have you. Do you see an underlying thread that can be tugged that will actually get people to, shall we say, cast off their own aspirations for a moment and just come together as one?
Let me give that some thought as I thank you for bringing me on this roundtable discussion on a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I just heard a Skype sound effect. I'm still online, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Somebody dropped there. What is it going to take to get us to put aside our own egos, our own differences? Well, we're trying to do that here. We're trying to lead by example. And I think that we promote a message that we are not competing with each other. We may have different ideas. We may have different websites. But we are, in a way, working as a collaborative. And that has nothing to do with how many likes or hits, because we're all working together on this. I'm not referring to anyone in this conversation, but there are others. There are others that have done what they have done to dominate alternative media. And we have to show those entities that they are not going to win. They are going to see people working together in this next decade in a way we have never done before. And that's why I think your show, Vinny, even though, you know, you have a wide variety of guests, but the point is you bring a lot of people together, especially through these roundtable conversations, and that is community. So there's a lot I have to add to this, but that's what I'm going to say right out of the gate. That's what I think is most important, to remember why we fight.
Mm. Well, you said you could add to it. I want to encourage you to continue then.
I see people that are lost in a psychosis, that they are in this for money. Or the problem is, and I don't want to be too opinionated, but I think we need to be on the grid and off the grid. And I went off the grid for a little bit, but that's not for everyone. But for those that are on the grid, there's enough people out there that are questioning things, that we can have our own alternative media networks for cheap, done in basements all across the world, be it New Zealand, be it Japan, be it the United States and other countries in Europe. And I foresee a time that I'd like to be a part of where we make documentary films. We were talking about China earlier. I think they're all connected in this new world order, and they're going to manufacture a third world war. I'd like to work with Chinese and Russians and see us translate information back and forth. I'd like to make a documentary as to how the British Empire went into China and got everybody hooked on drugs so they can weaken the Chinese dynasty. And then after that, they paved the way for Mao Zedong. Imagine the effect that can have. So that's just my example of what I want to do. But there are other ideas. I think that there is, even though we talk about net neutrality and internet censorship, there is this firewall breaking. And a lot of it is due to just big business. Chinese and Americans, frankly, are talking more. because of this coming merger, whether we like it or not. We need to turn that into a positive. So as we see these geopolitical things, I think that we need to think outside the box of the United States, and we need to think global. We need to think, let's hook up with other translators and communicate this. At the same time, let's try to find out what they're saying on their Facebook. China has their own Facebook. I would love to know about the Chinese secret societies and Russian secret societies, because it's clear to me a lot of people think Putin may not be a very bad guy. And it's very clear to me he is right in the middle of the New World Order. And
Especially today, what's going on? He dissolved the state media over in Russia today.
I did not hear that. No. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's why we cannot turn to RT. That's why those of the real independent media should work together so people don't go to them.
Yeah, they're a bit arty-farty for me. And also, there's the great firewall of China that we're now starting to break through. And I think that there must be people in China exposing scumbaggery there who are giving the globalists in their neck of the woods a great big Mao Tse-Tung lashing. And Karen Testardo, you've actually kind of pioneered this sort of international producing / radio marathon sort of thing. So it'd be interesting to hear your perspective on this as well.
Well, it's really an honor when I think about it to be part of the team, because that's, again, what it is a team. It was me finding out who feels like I do, who's had it and thinks all we have to do is quit. You know, quit this system, but do it simultaneously. You know, the bad news is we're all multinational corporate slaves, but corporations only run when you show up. And if we all drop out at the same time, it works. And so we started a marathon. Bob Tuscan was part of it. It was in August of 2009. And I had been able to, from just calling into different stations, encouraging people to go on a strike. Because, I mean, a strike is when you understand that the boss has just given you intolerable working conditions, and you can't thrive, you can't do anything but work, you're a total slave, and you have to stand together to demand something. The base.
All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. We were just speaking of Bob Tuscan. You know, he has a Star Wars football team called the Tuscan Raiders. You never guessed that. We'll be right back. What a wonderful world. Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, I think my generation is missing out on a lot of real awesome old school music. You know what I'm saying? That kind of iconic stuff. That stuff that should not be forgotten. You know, like the way that the Ring of Power was forgotten at the start of the first Lord of the Rings film. You know, that kind of thing. Some things are important that should never have been forgotten. And I go, I'm in New Zealand, right? And this is where we made the Lord of the Rings, literally. And it's quite fantastic how the whole world literally is mimicking that story right now. Have you noticed? In the land of Mordor, the darkness and scumbaggery abound, where there are armies of trolls and goblins and demons all bickering and fighting amongst themselves, just egging for a chance to destroy something that's good, to destroy something that is not subservient. They hate it in every single conceivable way. But there are some who resist. Some who will not be slaves to dark powers. Some who are willing to give their lives in service of freedom. And I think that's something that's actually quite awesome about being part of this movement, is that you know that everybody around you isn't willing to just take things lying down. You know? How inspirational is that? Look at the insurmountable odds that we're up against. They've got troll armies online. They have troll armies. I'm not kidding. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. You're completely outnumbered. And yet, we're fighting them off. That's what's awesome. If you've got good on your side, if you've got truth on your side, you have far more strength than the ordinary person who is just full of crap and doesn't even believe in what they're spouting. So, today with me I have Karen Quinn Testardo from UnitedWeStrike.com, Baran Hines from WTFRLY.com, and Alex Ansari from Outside the Box TV. Now, Baran, I was going to kind of take a test on you here, and I was wondering, is there a source of inspiration for you that makes you keep getting on and exposing scumbaggery? Are you even there, Baran?
I'm still here. The same thing, we all hate it in many forms.
Okay, yeah. I think actually hating something is good motivation sometimes. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't get mad at a lot of things anymore. I just work harder at certain things. And that, you know, when you focus that negative energy, you know, people, like I said, they go through stages. It's, I forget what documentary it was, but it's described as a grieving process in a way, and it is. It's or similar to that, you know, like the old mentality that you had, things that you were taught is dead in a sense, and you know, a person comes to grips with that, and other people aren't on board with that, like you were talking about with your family, and then ultimately you get to a point where you're going to, you're going to have to make certain decisions and find a healthy outlet, something to,
something to blow off steam, like a blunt, right, or a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Well, I mean, however people deal with that, you know, it has to be something that is sustainable in the sense that it's not going to kill you and it's not illegal or it's, or whatever, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there's no, you have to find whatever works for you. And, you know, I mean, it can be as simple as planting a garden. You could work out a lot. You could whatever. Something that will make you feel better about knowing what you know, and you can actually make some kind of a difference. You know, as opposed to ranting on the internet and arguing with people and then getting mad about it and complaining about it to your friends on Facebook. There's a lot of people that create a lot of problems for themselves and create a lot of headaches for themselves. And, you know, that's because they don't understand exactly what they're dealing with and, you know, how to deal with their own emotions, really. And, you know, for better or worse, I think that's something that people would do well to learn. And that's a difficult thing that you can't really tell a lot of people, you know, so.
Yeah, it's like they say in The Matrix, you know, up above the doorway in the Oracle's house, know thyself.
Right.
Actually, gets really important about that. Now, switching subject a little bit here. When we talk about these kind of moments of inspiration, what I find is you get creative solutions going. All right, dig this for example. We just had a Minister of Parliament, Russell Norman. He's the head of the Green Party here, right? He said, question one to the Minister for Social Development today, will she set specific targets for reducing child poverty? If so, what child poverty measures will she use? And I think about this, what kind of things do they do when they talk about child poverty? Well, they give them money, don't they? You know, there's a program here, a program there, or whatever, or maybe some extra money to those on welfare or something of that nature so that they can feed their kids. That's all well and good. But here's a creative solution that comes from inspiration as opposed to a money-spending solution that comes from dependency. How about teaching kids to grow their own food at school and teach them to teach their parents? That'll both reduce the household food expenditure and reduce the incidence of disease through simple nutrition, rather than a poverty handout, which just keeps people dependent on the state. It's better to be independent and self-reliant. And that's a lesson that goes across almost all fields. You have a look at what the government's doing, and then you have a look what the actual solution would be. Probably the opposite.
You know, Vinny, I think that these people with the charities and all the rest of it, I mean, it's so much bullcrap because they want to get together and have meetings to have inspiration, and what they need is some frackin' perspiration. It's like, roll up your sleeves, honey. Get a broom. Get a hammer. get a shovel. You know, if we actually really cared about people, if we were a moral people, poverty would not exist. In my opinion, we are still, unfortunately, in the dark ages. And recently, when we've, I mean, we are the military arm. The United States is the military arm of the New World Order, and it's really time to face the unfortunate music, which is a death song for countries who do not have central banking. You know, if you are the wrong color and you're not in debt through usury, we're gonna put you there. If you happen to be in the Philippines and you don't like what we say and you don't want to have us expand the United States, expand military presence in your area, oh, sorry, here's a very conveniently located typhoon. And here's another one. And let's triple down this time and see just how much death and destruction we can cause and pretend that we're not even going to look at HAARP and weather manipulation when the United States government can say that they want to own the weather by 2025. How can we even believe that they're not working on us right now? They made it rain on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We've got to face the fact that we have been all bamboozled and tricked into working against ourselves. And we need to connect with the land, which so badly needs us. Here in Oregon, I am part of a local farmer's market, and we've been up here since 2008, and we're only at 700 or 800 feet. Well, the snow hit the fan, and I mean, it hit the fan big time on Friday, and we're 30 miles out of town, about 30 minutes, and driving home Friday night was something. It was just coming down. And then going back in, I mean, it was like 4 degrees, 9 degrees, and it is cold up here. It is unusually cold. And the clouds as well this time looked brown. Brown. The whole, it wasn't the gray, healthy snow. It was a weird brownish, chemicalish look to me. And now we hear about freezing fog. And today I read on the news report that also we got bad air, because they're saying that it's so cold that all of the chemicals are trapped closer to the ground, and so it's hard to breathe. And then we also have people on the news telling us that, you know, geoengineering isn't doing anything to our land. And we're just in a crazy world. And the biggest thing that, in my opinion, we need to do is cop to the fact that we've all been had, and it's time to reboot the system, just like you do with a computer. There are so many useless jobs out there that people hate. And look at Wall Street. Come on. They gamble on people's lives. They manipulate the weather. They profit when farmers, when they fail. Look at all the money going into the military-industrial complex. People are starving. People are dying. And we're spending how many millions getting a drone that will kill not only, well, actually, yeah, one person. But right now, we're content to wipe out 50 innocent victims. We'd rather spend our money there and pretend that some leader, someone outside of ourselves, is more capable of making a decision about morality than we are.
Now, let's imagine the world was a computer. If the computer had this many problems, you'd push the reset button, wouldn't you? But no, 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 no. They don't want to push the reset button. They just want it to keep running like this. That is not good enough. We're running out of resources. We're not running out of room. There's plenty. There's freaking room for Africa for heaps more people. But the thing is, the elite control the resources and are contaminating them so that more people can't be around without getting cancer between 1 and 2.
Exactly. And it's why if we all step back on the same day, can you imagine the power we would have? To step back from the brink at the same day and say, no, no more. I'm not going to be complicit. I'm not going to go to sleep tonight with blood on my hands because they stole my money through taxes because I went to the store and I bought an item where part of that money was funded into the military-industrial complex who are destroying this planet. We're ignoring Fukushima. We're ignoring the fact that starfish are melting, that our sea life is dying, and that the few individuals who are sighted above water are sick and tumorous. We're ignoring all the people in the Gulf of Mexico who are still being poisoned by BP, who would rather spend money on advertising than do anything to really fix people. We have
They've turned it into the Gulf of Tanker.
They had the Gulf of Toxins.
The Gulf of Toxins! Oh, yeah, that's awesome!
So the Gulf of Toxico instead of the Gulf of Mexico.
I was kind of relating it to the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
There you go, that's true.
The Gulf of Toxin.
I'm in Colorado, and there's a portion of Colorado that wanted to secede and create their own state, a 51st state. And shortly after making this announcement, what Karen was talking about reminded me of the story. They got hit with massive flooding just a few months ago. They were calling it biblical at the time that the flooding was taking place. And some of the oil fields in Colorado were flooded. Now, I haven't heard a whole lot of follow-up, but when she was talking about some of the manipulations going on, that came to mind. But I definitely agree that if we're going to do certain things, especially when we're dealing with dangerous opponents, we have to work together to show them that we're not going to be abused. And when I see certain people get attacked and things happen to them, sometimes it's because they don't have a support base or they're not visible. That's why it's important to have a community aspect nature of this alternative media that we're sharing, because if something happens to one of us, we all know about it and can do something about it. We can respond with the way that we can respond by sharing information as to what's going on.
And something Karen said earlier as well is quite great too. How much power do we have together if we stepped back and said no on one day, right? And then it occurred to me, hey, how much power do we have by ourselves saying no every day? And the answer is actually quite a bit. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Final segment coming up. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. It's the summer schedule here, so it's a midday till 2 p.m. live at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There's a little player embedded up there. And you'll notice that we have nice summery music to take you in and out, so that all of those in the Northern Hemisphere who are getting frostbite and a thumb ripped off when they hitchhike in a blizzard can have some idea that at least there's summer somewhere on Earth.
Yeah, that was a nice break.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, it's summer's like a time of romance, you know, like I'm going to be getting married in January 18th, I think, and it's going to be really nice, you know. And I love Sarah; she's very nice, you know. Especially like when I massage her feet, she purrs.
Nice.
Yeah. I thought that was quite cute. That's our cat. All right. Anyway. Okay. Final. Serious notes. This is my serious voice. One statement from each of our three guests, I think, three remaining guests. We lost Suzanne Posel earlier on, you know, shark attack victim kind of thing. You know, it happens in radio. First of all, we'd like to give the floor to Alex and Siri. Some Christmas wishes for the listeners, Alex.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's see. I don't normally do a Christmas wish, but I kind of started out with saying, you know, there's a lot of us that have we live very isolated lives, many of us. Many of us that are alternative media figures, and also many people that are listening in the audience because of some of the things that we believe. Many of us are living some very isolated experiences because of the things that we speak about and because of the things that we believe. I think it's important to know that we're not alone and that we have certain things to be grateful for, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every single day and every single moment of our lives, that we're not being tortured, that we're not seeing family members raped in front of our very eyes, that we were gifted enough to have this knowledge, and actually not reincarnate into the actual war zone itself, to where we are running day and night from a drone attack like the people of Afghanistan and Pakistan this very second. We somehow were gifted with the ability to do what we're doing and live the tale of the tale. Despite all this nonsense going on with Facebook censoring and YouTube censoring, the fact of the matter is we're alive and we're free. And that's more than we could say for some of the people in history that try to do exactly what we're trying to do right now. So we have a lot to be grateful for. And that's what I'll leave the audience for with as they think about this Christmas. And the other thing, do what you can do to repair what was wrong with your family, if that's possible.
And now, Suzanne, Baran, sorry. I was just trying to keep it brief. I want to let Karen Tostado kind of take us out towards the end. So if, Baran, you can give your little Christmas wish to people. What was it that you wish people would like to feel these holidays? A realization, if you will.
I think that people need to keep in mind that...
You might want to speak up there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think people need to keep in mind that this is a all-the-time kind of thing. Like, you're living in a war, and, you know, most people are unaware that they're living in a war zone in America, for example. You know, it's just not a shooting war yet. And I just hope that everyone listening sort of gets the opportunity to understand that patience is necessary and that people have to find constructive ways to fill the time, because this is not going to be a short process, any of this. But that's what I wish.
Yeah, that's very cheery. And Karen Tostado, she's the den mother of UnitedWeStrike.com. What about you? Is there something that you'd like to wish for all the good boys and girls this Christmas?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Right now the corruption is in your plain sight. So do something about it. Give yourselves the gift of freedom, of empowerment. Know within yourself you've got a divine umbilical cord. You can plug it in without an interpreter. You can be the hero of your own life if you choose to be. And understand that regardless of what God you were raised to believe in, it is time to become an adult of that religion. It is time to look beyond, to understand that history was written by the winners, and to know that individually, each one of us is worth so much more than colored pieces of metal or paper. We are under legal economic conquest. We have been bamboozled and hoodwinked into showing up every day in a poverty consciousness stricken world that only exists because we believe in it. And we believe in scarcity and poverty because we also believe in wealth and abundance. On the other hand, when all of us are worthy, all of us, each and every one of us, if we believe that we go on after we die, then we have a responsibility to be accountable to Mother Earth, without whom none of us would exist, and she is being destroyed. For the first time ever, I am hearing freezing fog. I never heard that term. I'm seeing the brown clouds. There is too much going on in our water. Fukushima, the radiation. You know, we're destroying our world. But then again, Dr. Emoto proves with water, our consciousness affects our world and it affects our water. And when we stop being driven over the cliff, we can step back and begin to heal, because what better job could we possibly have than being good stewards of our world for the time we're here, respecting ourselves, stopping at the same time to agree that our lives are worthy, and all we have to do is agree to stop fighting, to cooperate, and to go back to the jobs that matter. Repair and healing, to demand that the military-industrial complex give us that hidden technology to heal, to not spend our money on war and death and destruction, to not have war, to have peace. And that's what I wish for all people, to understand that you're not here as an accident, but our divine umbilical cord has been hoodwinked since our birth, and it's time to reclaim it and to reclaim our power and our interpersonal relationship with the greater all that is, regardless of what we call it. So may we have peace. Please tune into the marathon this coming Saturday. And let's begin to step back together every 15th until finally, when enough of us step back, we can all quit at the same time and begin to rebuild our lives and demand peace, and that all of our troops come home to help rebuild, hold those accountable who brought us here, and live in communities that we can barter and work together with.
And the marathon is at UnitedWeStrike.com, and that's on this weekend. Is it on Saturday or Sunday, Karen?
Saturday. It's always the second Saturday of every month where it's live, with the exception of some segments that are pre-recorded, but we have no commercials. And we really were the first that I've heard who had international producers and would hand the program over from Germany with Detlef at wakenews.net to, you know, Alan in Ireland at oymireland.com, and then Gary, who takes it on. And the whole goal is to get people just to agree to volunteer their time. David Icke has collected millions of dollars. We've done it just individually, because, and all we need to expand is just people to donate their time, to believe in the message of connecting people around the world, because we face the same issues and the same foe. We just need to unite, quit, and begin again.
Yeah, begin again, just like Michael Finnegan. Thank you very much, Karen Quintestado from UnitedWeStrike.com, Baran Hines from WTFRLY.com, Alex Ansari, Outside the Box TV, and the no longer connected Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGuerrillaMedia.com. I'm Vinny Eastwood from TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. There's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead, make my news. And, of course, this is a 100% donation-driven broadcast, so if you want me to have a good time at Christmas, like $100 for gas or something like that, so I can go up and see my family, there is a donate and a subscribe button on the homepage.